Folkpedia.
Oh, you can look that up. Thank you.
Life is like a hurricane.
I don't know why it takes all the audio whenever I touch it. How you doing, buddy? I'm dealing with a little bit cold. I'm Ryan McChesney. I'm joined by Dave Ebert and his lovely wife, Bobby. Him and Dave was a professional wrestler, the Southeast Coast's largest athlete. And prayers going out to those people in Florida and Texas and all those who are dealing with the hurricane. Just difficult times there.
Yeah. It's not good. Hurricane Irma is basically the size of Texas, which is two or three times the size of Hurricane Andrew that hit in 1992. And so Florida is basically being covered by this hurricane, and it's strong, it's powerful, and it's going to be brutal. And so we just we lift up all the people in Florida, especially those that didn't have the means or the availability to get out of town before the storm hit. So we pray for their safety. Mm-hmm. Also, just pray for the people that did evacuate. Pray that they'll have homes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. Just crazy, crazy times. I am dealing with a little bit of cold here, so just bear with it, all right, guys? Bear with it. Call us in. We'd love to hear from you. We are the Ha Ha Men. Got a big week coming up here, especially with shows. We got the Doughwood thing coming up this Saturday, buddy.
Yeah, man. It's Saturday night or Saturday afternoon from 1 to 6, Doughwood Park, Lockport, Illinois.
Be there, be square.
It's going to be amazing day.
Huh? Yeah. I said be there, be square.
Yeah. Or if you're already a square, be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Like, you got it, square.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. Ha Ha Men's going to be performing. I will be introducing them. Also doing a couple of my original hilarious songs. And then on the 18th, we're going to be doing the special Good for Your Soul, or the first Good for Your Soul show at the Fountain of Life Church. Hello.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that because it's the start of what we're hoping would be a long-term thing there at Fountain of Life Church. It's really interesting because I'm actually borrowing the format from the team formerly known as Himprov, which, you know, our good buddy Brad and all those other guys down there in Texas. Basically we're just doing... Oh, yeah, Himprov, they're actually really good guys, and, you know, we talk about them every once in a while, but, you know, it was really just a blessing to see how God, you know, provided that restoration and that created a good relationship.
Oh, absolutely, they were really nice people, man. Like, those people are really good, solid people, like, who, I mean, I've gotten a few messages from them, and they're all rock solid, man.
Yeah, they're good people. They're solid men and women of God. Like, Brad is just an outstanding guy. I mean, if I ever moved to Dallas, I would, you know, he and I would get, you know, hang out a lot because he's a photographer. He's I think that's pretty much what he does for his livelihood. And he's actually a very good improviser.
Is he a lawyer? Isn't he a lawyer too?
He might be a lawyer. Maybe he does law and pictures. He'll either take your picture or he'll take your money one way or the other.
Hello. No, they're all really, really solid people. Look forward to working with them again. Definitely, man.
Right now the Ebert family plan is we'll be taking a trip down to Dallas for the Christian Improv Conference in May of next year. It's going to be the first weekend in May down in Dallas. The actual location and all the other details. Yeah. So we'll probably rent a car, take a trip down
the Midwest all the way down to Dallas, and, you know, stop by Brad's, hang out with him, and just have some fun with them.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. I know a few people in Dallas. I almost dated a girl in Dallas once. No. Well, she, I mean, might be like in high school, but
I was one of the Dallas cheerleaders.
Yeah, remember them? They're playing right now. The Cowboys, Jerry, and Jerry's World. They're getting ready to play. The Bears didn't do so well today. Your Bears, they had their chances, man.
They had chances, but hey, they were playing the number one team in the NFC last year, the Dirty Birds. See, all the Bears had to do was give them a 28-3 lead, and they would have won.
Well, that's true. Aww. That's true. But the Bears, I mean, yeah, but the Bears did their share of dropping. Like, I have Jordan Hayward on my fantasy team, and he dropped a touchdown pass in the game, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Cost me points.
But, you know, it's an early season, very young season. Long way to go.
It is a long way to go. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, though. I did pretty well in my fantasy. My team, the Chiefs, played Thursday night, and they went into Foxborough, and they beat the Patriots by, like, 14 points. Yeah, it was a great win.
Yeah, I think almost 95% of football fans were thrilled with that. The other 5% were the real Patriot fans.
The Patriots, they brought in like Marky Mark, their celebration was just really obnoxious, and that's what made it all sweeter.
Yeah.
Raise the banner. And it was
plus,
great.
It lost to your Chiefs and stuff.
Oh yeah, and plus, Alex Smith like just came in and, I mean, out Brady, and the best part about this, I'm not going to dwell too much on it, but the best part about it is that I took a chance and started Kareem Hunt on my fantasy league, knowing that Alex Smith likes his order just running backs, and the very first play of the game, they give it to Kareem Hunt, and he fumbles the ball, and I'm like, oh no. But then after that, he like sets the NFL record for a debut for most yards from scrimmage, and he has like 3 touchdowns, and it just was like, got me like 45 points. He got me 49 points.
Nice.
That was amazing. It was amazing. So I'm pumped up. I'm pumped up because we're going to go film some stuff there with you this weekend. It's going to be great. We still need to talk about what we're going to film.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, and my never-ending to-do list, because, the block party, not only am I a performer, I'm helping to plan and organize and all this kind of stuff, plus doing kids' church and getting ha-ha-ha men ready for everything.
Don't say that again.
It's gonna be
It will be. It's gonna be great, man. It's gonna be.
We do have to figure out what we're gonna do for film, because we're gonna make a couple of movies, a couple of short films, whatever, continue the Haha Men film division.
Genius. Yeah, genius.
And
Genius. That's what we're going to do.
What did you say?
I said that's what we're going to do. Or you said to continue the Ha Ha Men, and I said genius. That is our films.
True. So our film division is genius.
If Julia Stiles gets brought up in one of these, I don't know what I'll do with that.
Well, now that you've brought it up, it's almost like a challenge. It's kind of like in the improv scene.
Like,
say, don't freak out.
In one of these, just like say the last. That was like the last movie I ever saw her in. If you haven't seen that video, you should check it out on our YouTube page. It's our Valentine's Day video where we did, and we had a lot of fun. My personal favorite, though, I think my favorite is the Shockmaster, or not the Shockmaster, but the Holy Shocker. I think my favorite video of all time is the Shockmaster, but the Holy Shocker is the one that we did.
Yeah, that one was a lot of fun, and that and a couple of the others I really love. Like, if once we get to a point where we have a budget for like real cameras and real like editing studio and like a voiceover studio, there's a lot of those movies I really want to reshoot for us. Cause
I think I told you this. I want to shoot One Uppers,
mm-hmm.
and a few others. Once we get blessed with the financing of that, have other people who can have the audio there, also it's difficult because we do a lot of improv with that, and it's so difficult to edit that. Which is why I want to pre-plan some more stuff. Like, it wasn't difficult to edit the Holy Shocker because there was no words, but the other stuff was like really difficult because we just improvised a lot, and a lot of different the shots didn't really match up because of that, because we weren't doing the same thing at the same time ever.
Right. Like the Prayer Warrior, I know that had to have been hard.
Yeah, but I mean, I love that challenge. It was a fun little challenge. And the Valentine's Day one was difficult. But yeah.
The prayer or the bathroom confession, I'm sure, was a little bit easier because
I was
off camera the whole time.
Yeah, that was really easy. That was like just click, and then play with it and see what worked best as far as the attitude, or see what that kind of like background music worked with that. And once we got that, it was easy. But it was also fun to like show you as just a urinal or a stall, like in the beginning, a stall, like you were just this like ambiguous stall, and then all of a sudden we show your face. But we only got like 2 minutes left in this thing. We're going to have to do something here. Because I want to plug our show some more here coming up. We might have to record. We might have to go and record on audio or something. Audio on my audio. Audio. So I thought about you, because I was doing Thursday night after the Chiefs won. I was mm-hmm. walking around. And I even filmed this for my podcast that I do. I said, I was walking around, and I was just yelling, "To be the man, woo, you got to beat the man." And I was like, "We just beat the man. Woo."
Did you get thrown out of Buffalo Wild Wings again?
No, I wasn't. It was on here. I wasn't at Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm trying to think of like the last time I had issues with Buffalo Wild Wings.
That was the McGregor fight.
Yeah. Like, I was trying to think, cause I watched one more game, but yeah, that was the McGregor fight. You know what? We'll just continue to go. Here's what we'll do. We'll just continue to go with this. And they'll put it up. We'll be live. We're going to end our live show here in about 60 seconds, and then you can hear the rest on podcast. I didn't go out for that. I stayed in and jammed, because it was on regular TV, and I was like, I don't want people to see me at my worst. Oh my gosh, like the Colts might be the worst football team in the league. They lost to the Rams like 46-3.
Oh man,
it was terrible. It was terrible. That was terrible, man. That was terrible. All right, dude, guys, No more calling in, guys. If you want to call in, our number is 646-787-1540. We take Billy Bob Thornton impressions, so you're going to have to do one. Bubba from the Backwoods. That was it. So that was my thing. That was what I did. I watched it at here on TV, and it was like the Patriots celebration was so ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
they're such a ridiculous team.
Yeah, they are.
This tea is spicy.
So yeah, man. What else is going on in KC? You got any thing coming up on your end?
I have a the meeting. I have a a couple things. One, I have a meeting with my acting teacher tomorrow. But tomorrow morning, I'm going for my cornea evaluation. And I still don't know how this is. I filed for like Medicaid. I applied for that, and I'm waiting to hear back. But I'm still trying to get some assistance and help and fund that. So it doesn't completely, you know, bankroll me. Or bankrupt me. Because it's an expensive surgery. So I'm going to ask them exactly what they recommend or whatnot. Obamacare doesn't for 2018, I can't enroll in that until November. And then if that's the case, then I'll end up having to get the surgery, like start the surgery, you know, first of the year.
That'll put 2019 by the time it's all said and done too. So you'll be looking like 2019 by then.
It depends. Who knows? I mean, a lot of that depends on, I'm not going to be completely like sedated for all of that. Like I'll be able to if something happens, like after like the second one, I'll be able to move up there after, you know, a few,
okay.
I'll just have to go, every once in a while I'll have to come back for some, I'm talking to a girl right now.
Oh, hey.
No, I'm just kidding. She's texting me. I'll just have to follow up with the physician or the ophthalmologist every few months, or not every few months, but every every 3 or 2 months or something. But I don't know what that's going to look like yet. I don't want it to. I just want to get this done, man. I just want to get this done.
Yeah. You want to get that done over with and get moved on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So just prayers that everything goes okay tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that I get the assistance that I need to have this surgery done. Yeah, I mean that's my big thing.
So definitely praying for that and praying for healing and quick recovery.
Healing, quick recovery, no irritations. Yep. So.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. It'd be fun to have you up here. What day are you planning on making the trek up here?
Probably Friday.
Okay.
And then I'll be Friday, and then I'll be trying to think. Yeah, that's probably I'll leave probably around Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Wednesday. Depending on some things, yeah. So I can jam with you guys. But yeah, so that's the big thing is tomorrow. You know, the big corneal evaluation. So We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So we'll be praying, and Haha Men will have your back. We'll be praying for you, and you know, still believing that whether it's through surgery or some other means, that you know, there will be a healing for your eyes, and then we'll see also healing for Jim, who's got the same condition.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just praying that healing all around. And you know, something I just saw on Facebook scrolling through, it looks like as of now, they're downgrading the hurricane because it's mostly passed over Florida and is now kind of on the west coast of Florida in the Gulf.
Oh, I thought like it all like hit Cuba. Like I was like, oh, it's gonna all hit Cuba. Like,
because it's showing like it's downgraded to a Category 2 now on the west coast of Florida in the Tampa area,
mm-hmm.
and sometime tonight. It should drop to a Category 1 as it moves up the West Coast, up past Orlando, and then into Georgia by 2 p.m. tomorrow. It should be downgraded to basically just a tropical storm. And then it looks like it's actually going to come up here and hit Illinois sometime like Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Illinois needs, like, a good tropical storm. They need land.
Well, by then, it'll just be, you know, a bunch of cloud and winds and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
that's cool.
Those are the latest projections that somebody just shared, that is downgraded to a Category 2 to pass over Tampa around 2 a.m. Tonight. So right now, it's down in the southern part around Miami and that area. It's just a Category 2, so... The storm is dissipating a lot quicker than expected, and you know, it shows that prayer works, and that you know, the prayers for Florida have been heard, and the voice that calms the storms is calming this major storm, and it looks like in many ways it's been kind of you know, just a lot of grace to make sure that storm doesn't completely destroy Florida the way that it was feared to.
That's cool. Nice.
And God answers prayers. God is still in control.
All of the time. And I wanna get into that real quick here. Hold on. Let me. I am talking to a girl. hold on. Let me. She's actually in Florida right now. That's why I wanted to say that. But yeah. Good news, man.
And so, kind of talking a little bit more about the whole block party and stuff. On Friday, I actually did a phone interview for a Joliet newspaper, the Joliet Herald News. They interviewed me to talk about the block party, about Haha Men and our foundation. And that article is going to run in Friday's Joliet Herald News, which is kind of exciting. And then, you know, so that'll give Haha Men more exposure as well as the block party. Because for those of you that aren't familiar with the block party that may catch this on the recorded podcast, it's all about community and bringing people together and focusing on just being together and focusing on what makes us similar as opposed to what keeps us divided. And what really keeps us together, what the foundation of it is we are all made in God's image. We are all His children. It doesn't matter, just like the children's Bible school song of, you know, Jesus loves the little children, red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. It doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter where you're from, where you're going, or it doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter where you've been, it just matters where you're going. And if you choose Jesus, you know where you're going. If you don't choose Jesus, you also know where you're going. But it's not necessarily a great evangelical preaching event. There will be some ministry. There will be a lot of prayer opportunities. There will be a lot of opportunities to hear worship music, but it's not to bring people out to preach at them. It's just to get people together, to find a church or a community to plug into. And so that's what we're really excited about. I know that's, you know, why for the last 2 years I've really worked to make sure Haha Men's a part of it, because comedy can be so instrumental in breaking down those walls to opening up hearts to receive what the Lord may have to say. So we're just excited to be a part of it. And I know that you're excited to be a part of it, to have fun. We'll be actually, this is probably the first time you've heard of it, but you'll actually be a part of the first show that will include the official Ha Ha Men t-shirt.
Holla. Holla, holla. Holla.
So,
that's cool.
Everybody,
good to hear, man. Good to hear. And,
everybody
that will
be on stage for Ha Ha Men will have their own t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Can I get mine, like, in an extra, extra, extra small so I can, like, show off my, like, muscles?
I don't know if it's going to be that small. I think we got you a medium.
Oh, did you? Oh, so, like, okay. Well, I'm going to have to take some steroids then.
Yeah, you know. You could, you know, hit the gas a little bit, get some of those roids in. You know. If you're down in Missouri, you probably can get a hold of Mark McGwire and ask him for a leftovers.
He coaches for the Dodgers now. He's coaching for the Dodgers. I have a better chance.
Oh, I thought he was coaching.
I think he does coach for the Dodgers right now. I think he's doing something with him.
Okay, I was thinking that he was hitting coach for the Cards.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. wow, this tea is really spicy. Well, that's cool, man. I look forward to that. I look forward to the t-shirts, the Ha Ha Men t-shirts, and everything that goes with that, man. Like, that's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that you talked about is that it's this whole thing about unity, and I think it's important because I think that there's a lot of messages out there that are very divisive, mm-hmm. and I don't know if they mean to be, but they tend to be. Now, one of those is, and this goes back to the NFL game during the Chiefs game. The Chiefs, their cornerback Marcus Peters was seen sitting during the national anthem, and mm-hmm. it set off a big firestorm. And I put out on Facebook, I was like, well, he's still going to be on a team because he's actually one of the best at his positions, whereas Kaepernick yeah. isn't, because Kaepernick is not, and he also wants a lot of money from what he wants to be mm-hmm. a starter and wants a lot of money, And it's still, that's still such a divided subject. And I'm not sure at this point, even if there's a reasonable, like, I'm not sure there's even really, like, much else to say on this other, like, if you agree with it, then great. If you don't, then, you know, okay. I mean, it's your right either way. I definitely don't agree with. I think, you know, you respect the veterans, you respect the people who fought for your freedoms, and now you can also say that, well, you know, you have they did give you that freedom to sit, which is also true, but you're doing it on company time. You're making your company kind of look bad in a lot of people's eyes, and I mean at this point it's like it's so played out to me. That like, what's the end game here? What's the end game? Like, where's, I mean, I guess I'm just like it's not, it's always going to be a divisive issue. and I just wish the media would stop showing stuff like that though.
Right.
They're playing the national anthem right now at the Cowboys game. I guarantee you, if anybody sits during the Cowboys national anthem, they're all standing. But if anybody sits, Jerry Jones will have them. Oh, see, Odell is standing up. I thought he'd be the one sitting.
Yeah. See, I understand why they want to sit. I mean, I don't agree with it, but I understand. But I also think that, you know, what they need to do, it's just, it's disappointing because it's not successful. It's not helping things because it's disrespecting the people who have given everybody the right to do things in this country freely. And my problem is when it happened on September 11th last year, when they dishonored the memory of those who were killed on 9/11, and you know, it's just like, yeah, I understand why you want to protest, but this is a day where you put the focus where it needs to be on honoring those that we lost, and I just, I'm so tired of all the political games, and everything is a political game. Everything is about racism.
Mm-hmm.
It's tired. And yeah, you know, I am legitimately waiting for the day when somebody starts suing to remove the alphabet from schools because B is the first letter in black, but it's the second letter in the alphabet.
Yeah. I think the issue is that there's probably somebody who has that stupid idea. The issue is that the media puts all that attention on them because they have this stupid, weird, wacky idea. And like, I would say a good probably 95% of the people don't really care about that. Mm-hmm. Just like nobody really cared about the statues until, you know, all of a sudden, the media started to make it a big deal about the statues. You know, because for the 30 years that I've been alive, 30 plus years that I've been alive, I haven't heard anything about, like, hey, we should tear down this statue. Hey, we should tear down this, you know, or hey, you know, this is offensive to me. Well, I mean, like, I haven't, you know, that no one said anything about that. And so, I mean, I just think a lot of that, the issue is that some stupid idiot will have that idea. And then, unfortunately, I think people like Fox News will put them on because they have, like Tucker Carlson will put them on to have to make them look like idiots. But then their kind of vision will take off because it's like, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, that is right. Yeah, and so they'll get more of a following now because people are exposed to that stupidity, and then they're like, "Wait a minute, yeah, I'm gonna fight for this." And so, it's just a matter of I just think the media having too much time on their or too much to this stirring stuff up instead of unifying people, and that's why I think that Dulwood Park is a good thing to have that opportunity to unify.
And it wasn't well received, and I don't think people really took the time to understand exactly my point. But right when that whole thing was blown up in Charlottesville, I said one of the worst things one of the greatest tragedies of this whole thing is that we have now given a voice and legitimized these groups.
Didn't you say the greatest tragedy? I think that's what got people off. It's like, look, a person died here. Like, I mean.
Right. And the person, you know, I understand that one person died. It is tragic. It is sad. But the the collateral damage that's going to occur because now these people feel legitimized. The hate will rise, and there's going to be more tragedy. There's going to be more anger, more hatred, more death. It's like when when the Archduke Franz Ferdinand or Archduke Ferdinand was killed.
Is it Franz Ferdinand? They were banned, right?
Right. That's yeah. But when the Archduke Ferdinand was killed, that started World War One. I don't think you can say that his death was the greatest tragedy. I think the entire world going to war and the thousands upon thousands of deaths, that war was the tragedy. I think that's pretty safe to say, right?
Yeah. I mean, the fallout from all of that was a great tragedy. Yeah. And the thousands of lives that have lost after that were tragic. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is it's very sad, and that whole thing was really stupid and tragic, but I see what you're saying.
But and the you know, there's some of the people who I'm very close with that commented and tried to call me to the carpet for that statement. They didn't want to see the whole picture. They didn't want to see the broader picture, which is kind of the norm of our society is we're a very microwave society where we only see the 5 feet in front of our nose, where we don't want to take a step back and like, oh, wow, this is the collateral effect. This is what's going to happen later on because of this event. And
yeah.
because of that's why so many people aren't in power that are is because we have a microwave society that's not willing to think for a moment and try to, you know, find the big picture.
Yeah, a lot of that, so much of it has is driven on emotions. Even when people, like, what upsets me, though, and I think, like, I know we talked about the hurricanes, it's very tragic, and it's very sad. And I don't know if we brought this up last week, but I think a good part of that is that there are people coming together to help the fellow humans out. And, right. and you know, that's always good. And there is light at the end of the tunnel on that. Whereas I think what you were getting at with your post was that this is just going to divide us more and cause more issues and cause more rioting and cause more deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And the media doesn't care. The media doesn't care.
No.
Like they're not going to, that's what they want.
The more that we are sensationalizing, the more that we get all up in arms and excited and at each other's throats, the more people tune in and the more money they're able to charge their advertisers.
Yeah.
So it's all a money game and we're
yeah.
all playing in that game.
Yeah. I for one am almost done with that. I hate, I don't know. It's just difficult for me to watch that, like, and to kind of even like on, I do watch a lot of, Fox News and stuff. And they tend to lean more conservative and, you know, mm-hmm. like they and there's a lot of shows that I like on there, even though they're kind of, the whole media is just, it's ridiculous. But what they, you know, they even like, I mean, since they, like they have sensationalized stuff, for instance, like, or I think a lot of people, I'm glad a lot of people are kind of calling this out to task, is that with the people and the reporters being like out in the hurricane, like being put in like those dangerous situations, do we really need to see that? Like,
mm-hmm.
do we, yeah, what, why are we watching, like, hey, yeah, we know, get out of there, dude. Like, yeah, it sucks. What are you doing, you idiot? Yeah, I don't need to see you out in the middle of a hurricane to know that a hurricane is freaking dangerous.
Right. And another thing that Bobby had watched a video of this lady in Houston, where a TV reporter came up to interview her right after the tragedy, and she's kind of cleaned up her mess.
On CNN,
lady, she went off, and, you know, she sounded,
yeah.
you know, she was very upset. It was great, and she's like, why are you going to come down here and highlight our tragedy, highlight our suffering?
She was
dropping
F-bombs.
Yeah, she dropped some F-bombs, but more importantly, she was dropping some truth bombs. Why do we need to see that? I mean, why do we need to sensationalize that? Why not just report what's going on, give people reliable information on how to help.
And respect
how
the people that
support.
Are there, try to help them out, not try to sensationalize
right.
their struggles, which is what they were going for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why, like, geez, why, yeah, I remember that. And I was like, good for that lady, you know, don't be like, coming up on her, like, right after she, you know, crawled through all that water, and, like,
mm-hmm.
it's just, I mean, that's what you get, man, that's what you get.
Yeah, and it's all about the sensationalizing and, you know, exploiting.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, I love that, because it was CNN, and CNN is the most self-righteous people on the planet, when it comes to stuff. And so, you know, they need to be called out for that. They need to be called out. But yeah, I mean, it's that's the media though, man. Media sucks. I'm hoping that I don't know. I'm hoping that that there will be a huge good turnout for our block party though. And I'm looking forward to getting the shirts, my medium shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't worry, I'll put some weight on. If you're just tuning in, which that can't be possibly, I have a cold, so you'll listen to me, you know, having a cold the whole time. I always like when I get a cold, I get this like really sexy voice. And I don't really have it now, but like I'll get this like really deep, sexy voice, and then I like it much better than my regular high pitched, whiny "Hi guys," voice. And so whenever my cold ends, I'm always like, "Oh man, I have to go back to this voice." I feel better, but I wish that I had a better, deeper voice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Dig it. To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
I was doing that all
Friday, Thursday night, Friday. I was going woo.
Woo.
Eli still plays. He still plays for the Giants. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Is he still any good?
Yeah, I mean, he's still the starting quarterback. I mean, he kind of has that all shucks attitude. But he's still pretty good. But, yeah, it's...
Just think if he'd stayed in San Diego, how crazy life would be.
He wouldn't have won 2 Super Bowls, I don't think.
Probably not.
Dang, he just got drilled. He got drilled. Remember when they beat the Patriots? The Patriots were like 18-0.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's like, oh, they're the greatest team of all time. Once they win the Super Bowl, go 19-0, you know, forget the Dolphins.
Yeah, and I was actually hoping that, like, a little part of me was hoping, because that 72 Dolphins team, like, I hate those guys. Those guys are such, like, bitter old men. It's like, okay. Blah blah blah. You won what, 17-0? Okay, cool. What, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, a different time, different games. You guys weren't the best team of all time. The 49ers teams of the 80s could have beat you. The Steelers of the 70s, later 70s, could have beat you guys. And the Patriots could beat you guys. So, but yeah, I did have a good time watching the Chiefs game on Thursday. It was great because I never ever expected that to ever happen. And watching that like go down, I was like, oh my gosh, they're gonna beat like Brady and Belichick, and like and Marky Mark and like all like the people that are there. It was great, and so it was one of my favorite. One of my favorite Chiefs victories of all time. And that's not saying a lot, but.
Yeah, I didn't actually get a chance to watch the Bears game game today, but I did, you know, see some of the, you know, see the scores going on. I was like, oh, they're competing with Atlanta. So I mean, they did compete with Atlanta. They probably should have
won, but they kind of wet the bed there. They had like a first and goal with like a minute, like 40 seconds left, or not like, but like 30 seconds left, and they couldn't get the ball in, and they probably wet the bed a little bit there on that. But you know, let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson, man. I saw this documentary. Have you ever about George Mueller? And George Mueller, I don't know if you've had a chance to look him up, but like he's one of those guys who, I mean, he's just amazing. Like he set up a bunch of like orphanages in England back in the 1800s. And it was really cool because back in the 1800s they had kind of, I mean, there was a lot of poverty going on. That's when like Dickens was doing his thing. He was writing about it in like Oliver Twist and Christmas Carol. He was writing about like that kind of really, you know, wretched time this guy comes along and he's like, I'm going to, you know, he has a passion to start these like orphanages, and he's like he's this born again Christian. He becomes a Christian after like living a life of like promiscuity, and then he becomes a Christian, and then he starts to, like, to really study the Bible, and then he's like all of a sudden he starts it's like miraculous how like God keeps on providing for him because he never asks anybody for money, but God will just keep like allowing, you know, certain, I mean, for whatever reason, God would provide for him, like whether it be like let's say for instance he he would be like he at one of his orphanages he would be praying for food, and they didn't have any food on the table. He didn't really have any money. He'd be praying for food, and so he'd have all the kids around there, the orphans around there, at breakfast, and they didn't have any food. But then, like, at the last minute, there'd be, like, a knock on the door, and somebody would be giving him, like, came by. It's like, hey, you know, I have this, like, extra, you know, all this, you know, food. I just thought I'd come by and give it to you. Or, it was just crazy how God would work in his life. And I thought that it took a really, I mean, that's so dangerous. Like, it's a dangerous, and faith that a way of living, and I loved it. I thought, wow, this is really great. Like, and it's definitely testing. I can't imagine how much he was tested during that time period, but his faith never wavered. And and him and his wife, you know, they started a bunch of these, and they started a lot of orphanages. And he, you know, he was a preacher too. So he went over to the United States, and there's stories again about him going over on the ship, and how like the fog was all he wasn't going to make his destination, but he prayed on the ship right there. He's like, no, we will. Let's just pray about it, and because the fog was too much. And then as soon as he got done praying, the fog like lifted and the wind shifted. Cause that's exactly what he's praying for. So it was just like, it was really cool. And I recommend, it's on YouTube, and I recommend, cause I think you would really like it if you haven't seen it. It's really cool. That's why I sent you a message about that today. Not today, but not this week. And, So, I mean, if you haven't, like, cause it's really uplifting, and, it's just that, you know, God will provide, you know, like whatever our circumstances are, God will provide.
And that's one of the challenging things about faith, is trusting into that final moment that God will provide without having, you know, without having those doubts or that wavering faith. It's like, you know, there's always that what if, like, what if I misheard God, or what if it's not God's will, or what if, you know, this is a time where he wants me to struggle without, that kind of thing. So you start wrestling with those what ifs, and, you know, that takes a lot of practice and just a lot of faith. And, you know, that's something that we should all strive for, to have that faith to thank God for what's not yet provided, knowing that he will.
No, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I can't agree with you on that one. Because, I mean, and it's difficult. It's difficult because, but we do have that promise of God that he is a God of provision. He's a God of, he'll give us exactly what we need when we need it.
Right. I mean, he's got the riches of heaven at his disposal. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can and he will provide. It's just up to us to trust. They have that childlike faith.
Definitely, definitely. It's yeah, and this guy did. This guy had this like faith, and it was awesome to see how God worked in his life. And I can only wish that I had like an inkling of that, you know.
Right.
And just the way that God works. You know, allowed him the ability with hardly any money to build all these buildings. And I mean, obviously he had that, like he had support and all that, like, but I mean, he didn't know, like he just was like, okay. And then people would come and help him out. Like that he didn't, like, you know, he didn't know. Cause he never asked anybody for any donations. He never took any donations, which is the crazy part about that.
Right. It's just, and you wonder, what does it take to have that kind of faith? I mean, did he get a word from the Lord to go and do these things, or was he doing those things purely on faith?
You know, probably. Because obviously I don't think he would have acted like that. No, he did that by studying the Word, reading the Word, just kind of, look, he spent a lot of time in prayer. It was pretty much, you know, yeah, that's reading and praying.
And that's kind of where I struggle sometimes in my walk. It's like, there's so many things I want to do and I want to do it and just trust God will provide. But I wrestle with, is this something that I'm just imagining that doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to provide because that's not his will? Or do I take that step in faith knowing that he'll provide because I'm doing it for him? You know, it's kind of that wrestle of almost like waiting for God's permission to step out in faith. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And I don't know the answer to that. I just know that, you know, once you get into his word and meditate on all that and prayerfully all that, then all that will be revealed to you.
Yeah.
man, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm gonna get a cold.
You doing all right over there?
Well, my tea's getting cold. It's definitely, you know, there is a danger in there, and people will look at you like, we shouldn't. I want to have that faith where people, because I think a lot of Christians, I know a lot of Christians I see are kind of this, you know, you have to have your ducks in the row, and there's nothing wrong with like, you know, being, we are called to be prepared on certain things, but, you know, God's like having, like, I would almost call it like the American dream, where you have to, like, you know, is to make as much money as possible, provide as much for your family as possible. Where I'm not exactly sure God calls us to that.
Right.
Where he calls us to work and to serve, in his glory. But I see it like a lot of people, like I see our, you know, here that Christians, I see sometimes that it seems like that they kind of make it out to be, okay, well, as long as I, you know, like, I don't, I'm like, they, it's just kind of, okay, you know, here, do your thing. I go to work, you know, I'll go to church on Sunday. And I think God calls us more than that. There is a, I don't ever think that I don't think they want to take that risk of having to be so reliant on God that they kind of, it's scary to them. And I'm talking like most Christians I know, that it's scary to them to be that reliant on God. And I know that a lot of times, because I know that I've been in certain situations, a lot of times it's for me, it's some of the best prayers that I've ever had. And the most peace that I've ever had is, okay, you know, I'm completely relying on him, man. You know, like, so, but I do think that people, I mean, it is scary. It is, because you want to have that security and that you can touch and feel and see.
Yeah. And that's why God tells us in his word, through Jesus' words, to have faith like a child, is to just trust that, you know, your mom and dad have everything that you need and they'll always take care of you. And for, you know, adults, that's so hard to just trust in the unseen and the unknown. Especially for me, I think it's even harder as a man, because you think, like, I'm the man, I'm supposed to provide, make sure that my house is in order. And so when the finances get hard or tight, you start to doubt, you start to wonder, like, God, am I out of your will? Is there something I'm missing? And that's kind of, you know, my biggest struggle lately is just trusting that, even though he's done it over and over and over and over and over and over again, trusting that God still has us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I struggle.
Yeah. It is. And that's all. That's always a struggle that a lot of people have. And I know that you know, that, and there's a humbleness there, I think, that God wants us to have, where we have to humble ourselves and not, like, you know, because I feel like there, especially if you have, like, a lot of, you know, I know churches, so I see a lot of churches and I think, man, you know, there's not a whole lot of humility here. There's a lot of people who, you know, have to have, like, the newest things, have to dress a certain way, have to, you know, and I think, you know, they're out to impress other people. And I know that sounds like a little judgment on my part, but, like, when I see pastors, like, up with, like, this Macklemore's, like, haircut, I'm just going, dude, really? Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, and this, like, really, like, yeah, I don't know, like, this, like, really, like, and it's funny, because this really, like, silk shirt and you know, it's like, a part of me is just like, yeah. I mean, you know, we're called to, you know, that's cool, I guess. I'm trying not to judge, but a part of me is like, dude, you're trying to impress, like, everybody here. You're trying to, you want to be hip and cool to these hipsters and to the people that you're flocking. And, you know, I think that I, you know, part of me is like, I see past that. Like, I see past that, because I, you know, I was that guy. You know, I was that guy for a while.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. That's the sin, you know, the sin of vanity, which is so easy to fall into, is where you want the world to accept you, because that's what you see. You see the world, you see the people around you, and it's very easy to trust your eyes and think that that's what's important, because it's right in front of you. And so you try to violate Romans 12, 1 and 2 and start adopting the customs of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm trying not to make it all about, like, I remember going to this one thing this guy from Hillsong was speaking here, and one of my friend's church, they had a pastor that really tried to, I mean, I feel like he's from Oklahoma, But he, I mean, he went all, like, full on, you know, like, local, indie, like, emo, like, hipster pastor. And, I mean, he just thought, like, you could tell he just thought he was the coolest person in the world. And right. I was like, dude, you know, like, I see past that. I mean, like, if everybody else dresses like you that you're around, this isn't like necessarily biblical, I guess, because they're not really sinning, but it just seemed to me they're just conforming to like the societal ways of doing things where as me as a person, I'm more attracted to the people who are, you know what? I'm comfortable in my own skin to do my own thing, to have my own style and not to try to fight that. Now I say that, but I'm a guy who wears backwards hats. I, you know, wear hoodie like, but, and so, I mean, there may be some hypocrisy there, but, you know, and I wear flip flops to church sometimes and, but hey, you know, I think we all have a little bit of that.
To church?
You know, that's fine. I'm kind of talking like what I see like as like a guy as a pastor that, you know, I see that, and there was just something about that I was just like, man, you know, he's trying to conform and he's trying to be cool to these people in this world instead of trying to I don't know. It felt like, and for me, that's just not like a good look. That's not like, especially when I felt like he was trying to appease somebody, some people, you know, that's what he was doing that for. Now I can tell you, cause I went to a baseball game with my, we had last night with the pastors at our church and they don't try to be cool at all. no, they're all, you know, they don't dress except for Connor sometimes. Connor wears the same hat, like he's worn the same hat for like 10 years. He needs to change the Royals hat, but no, they don't try to be. They're comfortable. Again, I think that comes with maybe maturity. Because they're all probably, you know, 40s and 50s at that time, except for Connor. He's you know, late 30s, mid to late 30s. But that comes with maturity, I guess. Man, I felt like that, you know, and I don't know why, I'm like, this is like setting me off right now, but like, just like seeing those, like, try to be like pastors who, you know, think that they're, like, dressed to impress, like, dressed to be hip and cool, and try to conform like that, in a way. And not necessarily that they're, like, sinful, but, like, I'm just, that's not something that I'm like, oh, hey, he's cool, man. This guy, I can really, you know, talk to him, man. No, I think there's something about you that I don't want to go and talk to you about, you know, any issues that I'm having, because it seems like you're just trying to like put on this show for these people instead of actually being real, because you're dressing to the societal norms. Whereas, you know, like, our church, you know, Francis, he doesn't. He's just, I'm Francis. I don't care.
And I mean, I think that's a fair question to have. It's like, now, do you really enjoy being this way, or are you trying to fit in? Because I mean, there's some people that are wired a certain way where they are going to dress a certain way and look and talk a certain way. So I mean, if it's really who you are and you're being true to yourself, I think, you know, that, you know, go with it. But if you think that, you know, doing the Macklemore haircut and wearing the ripped jeans and you know, the peace t-shirts
and a what?
You know, the peace love t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. You know, all that
t-shirt,
new hippie type stuff. You know, it's like, if that's not who you really are, don't put up the front, because in a way you're bearing a false witness. You're telling people this is what you believe in, who you are, but all you're trying to do is manipulate them into liking you. So in a way, it is. You could think that it might be sinful to lie about who you are to get acceptance.
Yeah, and you know, I try not to think like to make all those like assumptions.
Right.
Like with this guy, I don't really know him. This particular pastor from Oklahoma with this Macklemore haircut. but I know I just it was the vibe that I got. It was the whole vibe that I got, and like
yeah.
his wife was like really shouty too. Like whenever she would get up and talk about like something, and you could tell like, you know, they would give her a mic, and it's like she's like supposed to make, I don't know if like she's like supposed to make announcements. I don't honestly know why they would give her a mic. But they did. And like, and she would just be like go off on tangents, like she would just start yelling stuff. She's like, "Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. How many people you love, Jesus? How many?" And because we love him, because we know that God, you will never, and like forsake us, all of this. And she was just going on and on and on, and it was almost like she was doing this like theater piece.
Right.
And it was, it felt kind of, it just felt phony to me. And it felt like that. I was like, okay, you know, like I'm with you on some of that, because I feel like, and I want to think that some of that is genuine, but I can't, you know, like there it's a little over the top.
Yeah. And that is the gift of discernment. If that's what the Lord's putting on your heart, you know, pray for them. Pray that, you know, that what they're saying, God would still use to bless and to reach people for his glory, but also pray that they would come to a place of comfort in their faith, that they wouldn't have to put on such a show.
Yeah, and I do. I honestly think that I don't know how, but it goes with age and maturity. Because, you know, these guys that I hung out with last night, my friends from my Long Road Baptist Church, you know, they don't care. I mean, they do, but they, you know, it's you can tell there's a security there, that they're definitely strong in their who they are and who God has put them out to be. And so that's why it's always good to see them. We love you, Jesus. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing guy.
That kind of stuff. For me, I can appreciate that when, like, kind of like what you're alluding to, when it feels genuine, it's one thing. When it feels like they're genuinely praising, they're genuinely celebrating Jesus. But when it becomes, like you said, it's a performance piece, and it's like they're trying to perform for what they think that is going to get a crowd reaction, then when it's inauthentic, and it actually disservices any worship that is genuinely going on in that place.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I you know, that's all I know. That's all I can't speak for everybody who was there, but that's, I remember this was a couple years, like maybe, yeah, a few years ago, when I was there. And I just was like, you know, I don't know if this is, the right church. Like, cause I thought about going to that, cause they have a bunch of young adults. And so I was like, okay, it'll be cool. Cause our church isn't really wired like that. I mean, which, you know, could be kind of cool, because I don't have that pressure of, you know, trying to meet somebody there, because I always fold under that. I'm always that guy who's like, all right, you know, I talked to this girl once. Now, every time that I see her, I always have to be like, okay, because that's how it was at Moody. It was like, oh, no, I've got to ask her out. you know. And then if she doesn't like me, then like it's like, oh crap, well I have to find a new church. And that's kind of like the I mean, that's like the general basic, it was really basic you know, outline of that, of how I would feel. But yeah, and so there's that, not that pressure for me, but but yeah, that's why I started to kind of go there, because I felt like there was more people, you know, single adults there, that more people my age who was to hang out with too. And then I realized, oh wait a minute, I don't really like it, I guess. Maybe, I don't know.
Right.
I didn't know. I just felt like, no, you know, it just never, it never clicked with me, because the shoutiness of the sermons, of and the of like everybody talking back to them, like everything that they said. You guys ever get that in your church?
I'm with you.
You guys
no,
ever get that?
There actually, if I'm being completely honest, there is one, and I won't mention this person's name, but there are times when I hear them, you know, in the middle of worship or in praise time, and I'm wondering, are you really praising, or are you trying to convince people you're praising? Are you trying to perform?
And I struggle with, like, because I always feel like I'm always like, stop doing that. But a part of me is like, what if they're really genuine, you know? What if they're genuine? But I hear you. Like, I immediately go to, oh, gosh, you're so annoying, dude. Really? Like, we all can hear you. But then, you know, what if they're genuine? Like, you know, I'm sure, like, David shouted like that, I'm sure. But there's a part of me that's like, stop it. Jeez.
Right. There are times when it does. I think the reason why I have my questions and reservations is it becomes distracting. It becomes something where it's like I'm losing my focus and trying to praise the Lord in my space, and I can't because I have somebody behind me yelling. And for me, I usually can tell for sure. I'm usually pretty confident when it's genuine, and then when it's not genuine, it's like, oh, come on, just – let it come naturally. Don't force it, and don't create a scene so that I can't get into my, you know, relationship with the Lord. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's where I go.
Yeah, and this is, I don't know. It was distracting to I know it was distracting to a few people that were talking to me about that beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Before I went there, but I never, I guess I never found it distracting. I've been to a few churches like that, so it's never really bothered me. I find it more cartoonish, and kind of, comedic. Than I do actually. Like, hey, isn't this awesome? I was like, no, this is like really, this is funny. Like, this is like this. I mean, and I say that now because I'm trying to like convince myself, hey, what is this?